Let's talk about how to safely travel in a collapsed society scenario. You may be needing to bug out of a city that is collapsing all around you. You may be needing to meet somebody somewhere in order to trade something, such as seeds or food or ammunition. There are many circumstances under which you're going to need to travel. You might have to take someone to see a doctor or medical professional. We need to understand that there are very dangerous ways to travel, and then there are safe ways to travel. And the dangerous way to travel is to do so in broad daylight in a way that's very loud and flashy and is advertising that you have a lot of money or resources and that you are a worthwhile target for someone to risk attacking in order to take whatever you have in your vehicle or on your person. So stealth travel should be the key strategy here. How do you travel in a stealthy way? And that philosophy also encompasses traveling on foot as well as traveling on vehicles. So first, let's talk about the visual aspect of this. If you need to travel in a covert way, obviously you must travel at night. And traveling at night, you need to not use flashlights or headlights on a vehicle. Headlights are obviously very visible from a long distance, as is any kind of a flashlight. So you want to be able to travel with light discipline. And the best way to do this is to have your own night vision monocular or other device so that you can, from time to time, stop and maybe look at what's ahead of you for several hundred yards and kind of see what you're approaching. And if there's a lot of moonlight, you can walk around at night without any additional light. But if there's no moon, you may not be able to walk around at all. So it kind of depends on the weather, depends on the moon cycles, and also depends on whether or not you've got night vision equipment. It's one more good reason to have night vision. In a car or other vehicle like an ATV, not only do headlights broadcast your position, but also, don't forget, your brake lights. So every time you tap on your brakes, you are announcing your position. Now, understand, of course, there are serious risks of driving a vehicle without headlights or without taillights or any lights of any kind. However, in a collapsed scenario, and I've tested this myself, you can, in fact, operate a vehicle with no lights whatsoever using nothing but night vision. There are also very good infrared flashlights and even infrared headlights that you can get. Although anybody else with a night vision device would be able to see your light, but it also helps illuminate the roadway ahead of you so that if you have a night vision device, you can theoretically and quite literally drive around with no headlights using your night vision device. You can still see everything because you have infrared lights. I just want to mention a special disclaimer here that I'm not encouraging you to do this activity. It is very dangerous even to practice it. You could obviously hit other vehicles or they could hit you and it could be catastrophic. So this is a life and death type of strategy when you really absolutely must get somewhere quickly without using any lights whatsoever. And it will be dangerous. Now, if you're on foot, make sure you don't start a campfire that can be seen. And what special forces people understand and survivalists and so on is to dig a ditch, a pit, and then have your fire down in the pit and keep the fire low. You don't want a giant bonfire announcing your position to everybody around you. So practice fire discipline as well as light discipline. Now let's talk about noise. Vehicles make noise, especially combustion engine vehicles. And motorcycles typically are even louder. If you want to travel quietly on a road, the best thing is either a bicycle or an electric vehicle. Now, bicycles still make some amount of noise, and you can take steps to, let's say, denoisify your bicycle. You might have to take off fenders and such. You don't want things rattling. For an electric vehicle, it will still make some amount of noise as well, but you can reduce the amount of noise by driving more slowly. And when you're pushing an electric vehicle very fast, it can be still quite loud. You might also look into electric ATVs or UTVs or side-by-sides or even electric-assisted bicycles, which can give you quite a lot of extended range. And the nice thing about an electric bicycle or even electric motorcycles is they can be recharged using solar panels and a solar generator. Even though the recharging time may be very long, several days or even a couple of weeks, in fact, depending on the size of your battery, you could still charge it off-grid, and that would give you the capability of transportation in an emergency situation. And of course, the more solar panels you have, the more rapidly you can recharge this form of transportation. So to summarize so far, the most careless way to drive around is, let's say, in an RV, in broad daylight, on a major road. You're just begging to be caught up in a roadblock and then to be held at gunpoint and carjacked, and they'll take everything that you have. That's the worst possible way to do this. The best possible way is actually off-road. And this comes down to choosing the path for your transportation. Roads are going to be dangerous. Not only mainstream roads, but even side roads. Any kind of road is going to be dangerous because that's where people will set up roadblocks and they'll set up traps. A trap might be, oh, here it looks like a car wreck and there's a woman who appears to be injured or a child laying in the road who's trying to crawl and screaming for help. And so you drive up and you stop your car because you're a good person and you get out. Say, oh my gosh, how can we help you? And then six men with rifles emerge out of the forest on the side of the road and say, ah, gotcha. See, that's the kind of trap that can happen in a collapse scenario. And of course, the child was an actor and the injured woman was an actor, kind of like what governments do all the time with their false flags, right? So false flags can be very small local events. You can get caught up in that. It's far better to go cross country on foot if you have to, or to use pathways or even, you know, dirt paths if you have such a thing in your area, trails. And one of the things you'll learn is that if you live in a rural area, wild animals will make their own trails. So you'll have hog trails and deer trails, and then even domesticated animals such as cattle and donkeys like I have, they will make their own trails as well. So you're going to have trails that will lead from point to point. If you follow those trails, you're going to have a much easier time traveling. Now, if you do go cross country, you're going to encounter a lot of fences. And some of those fences are going to be barbed wire fences. Now, you can climb barbed wire fences, or you can go under them. Sometimes you can put your foot down on one lower wire while using your hand to pull up on the wire above that, and you can create enough of a gap that someone can go through that fence. And that's typically the easiest way. But it's always a smart idea to have a pair of leather gloves and to have some rugged clothing so that you don't scratch yourself up on old rusty barbed wire. In addition, if you're traveling cross country in an emergency situation, it is smart to carry a pair of portable wire cutters. Now, I want to be clear about this. If you cut some rancher's wire, that is a very serious offense, and it's not something that you should ever do lightly. Only in a true emergency situation, and you should frankly try to alert that farmer or rancher because he or she may lose all their cattle if you cut their fence. You might be causing thousands of dollars of cattle losses to that farmer just by snipping one section of fence. So don't do that lightly. That's going to come back and hurt you with a loss of food supply. You know, hamburger is going to get more expensive because everybody's losing their cattle because everybody's cutting all the fences and the cattle are walking away. So just don't go around cutting people's fences. It's bad country karma to do that kind of thing. Finally, if you're going to choose a time to travel and you really need security, the best time to travel is when other people are sleeping. And that's typically between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So if you have to go down a road, do it during those hours and hope that whoever's trying to set up roadblocks is asleep, because there's not much traffic during those hours, and so they might be asleep. But this underscores the importance of silence. If you have a really quiet vehicle, then you might be able to get through that roadblock before they even wake up. But if you have a loud vehicle, they're going to awaken as you approach, and they're going to be able to trap you. Now, of course, they might have a roadblock that's always blocked and that they have to open to allow you through, in which case you're kind of screwed either way. So that comes back to the importance of being able to have alternate routes and travel off-road and avoid road checkpoints or busy intersections and things like that. It's always good to be able to travel cross-country, which of course necessitates having a topographical map of the area, having a compass, maybe a GPS device, having a night vision device, and then the ability to defend yourself against whatever may happen to you when you're crossing some rural area on foot. You might deal with, I don't know, coyotes or some other wild animals, maybe bears in certain parts of the country. It's possible. So just be smart about it and be prepared for anything. And the final bit of advice in all of this is that it's far better to not move around at all in a collapse. It's better to stay put. You have more supplies and better defenses at your home base. And this reinforces the importance of having your own medical supplies and having food and ammunition and seeds and all the tools and things that you're going to need to be self-reliant during a collapse scenario. Because the less you have to travel, the safer you're going to be. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also, of course, Brighteon.com. Take care.